message of grace is brought to you by Christian people who believe the Bible to be the Word of God and who appreciate its power and authority. Within the pages of the Bible itself, there is a God-given design for its study. Rightly dividing the Word of Truth is the key to understanding the Bible. We're glad you've joined us for another interesting look into God's infallible book as Richard Jordan, president of Grace School of the Bible, presents another in a series of messages designed to help you understand and enjoy the Bible. Let's join them now.
Two cities in the Bible dominate all of the outworking of the prophetic program. The whole of the prophetic program could literally be called the tale of two cities. The first city is the city of Babel or Babylon. And the other city is the city of Salem, or as it's later called, Jerusalem. The first one is mentioned in Genesis chapter number 10. The Bible says in Genesis 10, verse number 8, Cush begat Nimrod, and he began to be a mighty one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord, and the beginning of his kingdom was Babel. And Babel becomes Babylon, of course, and that becomes the great center founded by Nimrod, the great rebel, and it becomes the center of the rebellion of man against God. It becomes the focal point and the symbol of man's rebellion against Almighty God. It becomes the center of the satanic policy of evil against the purpose of God. Shortly after Satan's city is introduced in Scripture, you come to Genesis 14, and you see that Melchizedek comes on the scene, and he's called the King of Salem. And Abraham meets him there, and he brings bread and wine. And Melchizedek was the priest of the Most High God. And Abraham worships God with Melchizedek at Salem. Now Salem, Psalm chapter 76, verse number 1 says, in Judah is God known, his name is great in Israel, in Salem also is his tabernacle and his dwelling place in Zion. If you take the name Jerusalem, Salem, Jerusalem, the city of Salem, the city of peace, that's Jerusalem, that's God's city. And you know, that's the way the Word of God works. You remember the principle in 1 Corinthians 15 where Paul says, albeit not that which is first is spiritual, but that which is natural is first, and then afterwards that which is spiritual. It's always that way in the Bible. First there's Esau, and then there's Jacob. First there's Cain, and then there's Abel. First there's Saul, and then there's David. First there's the natural birth, then there's the new birth. First there's the Antichrist, and then the Lord Jesus Christ. So Satan's city is mentioned first in the Bible, and then Jerusalem is presented in Scripture as God's answer to the move by Satan to at the inception of Babel. It's important to understand these two cities because they dominate the program and the purpose of God. They dominate in the beginning of the program of God and the satanic counterfeit against it, but more importantly, they dominate at the end. I'd like to put a map on the board just for on the screen just for a minute so you can see the relationship between these two cities. You see Babylon. Babylon is located here on the map. Jerusalem is located here. Now you can see how that in the beginning of Genesis, the things that were taking place in Babylon and the Tower of Babylon, we'll read about that in a minute, that were taking place over here. Shortly thereafter, Abraham is over here and getting the program and purpose of God on track. But in the end times, and that's what we're thinking about especially in our study today, is in the latter times, this area of the world right in here, all of this is called, we call it the Middle East. Israel is over here, and I don't have a modern map to superimpose here, but you know that Israel is in here, Jordan's in here, Saudi Arabia south, Iraq, and Syria, and Iran is over that way, and so forth. Our troops today, as they're located in Saudi Arabia, are located down in this territory down in here. Iraq is in here. Babylon is there. Modern-day Baghdad is located right about where that B is right there. Baghdad is about 40 miles north of where ancient Babylon was. Ancient Babylon is today called by the name of Hillel. If you look on a map and you see the the map of Iraq today, and you'll find about 40 miles south of Baghdad, a town by the name of Hillel. And Hillel is the site of ancient Babylon. So these two cities that began in Genesis are playing a part in world events today. And the things that take that begin back in Genesis will have their culmination in the days ahead as the outworking of the prophetic program continues to center around these two great cities, Jerusalem, God's city, Babylon, the center of the great apostasy against the purpose and program of God. Now that apostasy and that declension is identified for you here in Genesis. I'd like to look back there at it with you. Genesis chapter 10, verse number 8, Cush begat Nimrod, and he began to be a mighty one in the earth. He began to be someone who was exercising great power and authority and dominion in the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Notice that he becomes a hunter. He becomes someone who goes out with a spirit of conquest, conquering and to conquer, as Revelation 6 describes the Antichrist. He's a ruler by force over people. He's mighty and he's a hunter. He's working to bring men under his yoke. And what he does is he builds a kingdom. And it says, wherefore it is said, even Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. Somebody says, well, wasn't he doing this for? It doesn't say he was doing it for God, but before the Lord. And the beginning of his kingdom is Babel. We're going to see in a minute as we read chapter 11 that what Nimrod does is he goes out among mankind and inspires mankind to rebel against the stated, revealed will of God. And he does this before the Lord. In other words, God is looking at him and he understands that God is seeing what he's doing, but he does this in defiance against God. And he gathers men together under his umbrella of protection. He's a mighty hunter. Well, what does a hunter do? Well, he doesn't necessarily hunt people. He could hunt animals. And if you remember in Genesis chapter 9, that at this time, when Noah came off the ark and as they began to repopulate the world after the flood, God placed among the animal creation no longer the docile, tamed nature, but rather he put the fear of man, the dread of man in animals. And the animal kingdom began to be the wild kingdom for the first time. And all these wild creatures roaming the earth out there, Nimrod could provide protection and safety to mankind within the confines of his city. And he calls men together into his city. You remember the first man that built a city in the Bible was Cain. And Cain built a city as a monument to his rebellion against God. God Almighty cursed Cain for slaying his brother Abel. And he said there's two things your curse, your punishment will be involved in. One is that Cain was a farmer. He was into agriculture, and he brought the fruit of the ground, and that was he said, you'll never be able to practice your profession of farming again. The earth won't yield its fruit to you. And number two, you're going to be a vagabond. You're going to be a stranger. You're going to travel. You'll have no certain dwelling place. And rather than allow that to happen, Cain went and dwelt in the land of Nod, and he built a city. He said, I'm going to sink my roots down. I'm not going to be a tumbleweed. I'm not going to be a vagabond. I'm not going to be scattered around in the earth like God said. I'm not going to be tossed to and fro. I'm going to have a place that I can call my own, even if God said I can't. And he built a city. And he made that city a monument to his rebellion against God by taking that city and naming it after his own son, Enoch. I mean, he named that city in his own honor and after his own glory. He was embodying what I can do. Rebellion, it became a and the city all through Scripture, all through time has been just that. It's been a monument to man's rebellion against God. You want to know why there's so much trouble in the city today? You know why there's so much trouble in large urban metropolitan areas where people lay house to house? Isaiah says, woe to them that lay house to house. You know why there's so much trouble in the inner city? I live in a great metropolitan area of our nation, and there's constant turmoil and strife. And you watch the news, and you read the radio, read the newspaper, and you listen to the talk shows, and you see constant turmoil being discussed. You know why that is? Because the city, as it's formed by fallen man, is a monument to man's rebellion against God. They've kicked God out. And you can't have a city that brings peace and harmony and tranquility unless God is the God of the city. That's the reason God chooses Jerusalem, a city. For God himself is going to come and do for man what man can't do for himself. Even in the city, in eternity future, God dwells in the city called New Jerusalem. And when God dwells as the center and the light of the city, then the city can function. But when you kick God out, and that's the way we do it, you know, we come along with a problem and we say, look, we'll take care of it ourselves. We'll do it our own way. We'll figure it out. We don't want God. Well, you do that, you have what you got. And you look around you and you see the way it goes, and the way it goes that way is because men throw God out. In Genesis 11, you see just that in the first kingdom of Babylon. The whole earth was of one language and one speech, and it came to pass as they journeyed from the east, they came, found a place in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they made brick for stone, and slime and they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach to heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. You know what God told them to do? God had told them to scatter out in the earth and replenish the earth, and to be fruitful and multiply and cover the face of the earth with a people that would honor and obey and glorify him. You know what Nimrod leads mankind to do? We're not going to do it God's way. We're going to do it our way. We're not going to scatter. We're going to build us a city. And that city, we're going to build it so we can have a great name. And we won't be scattered in the earth like God said we ought to be. We're going to do it our way. And we're going to build a city. And we're going to have a tower. We're going to have a religion. We're going to have a church building. And we're going to, in that church building, whose top may reach unto heaven. That is, we're going to get to heaven our way. We're going to reach up there. Heaven belongs to God, but we're going to get what belongs to God our way. We're not going to be in submissive obedience to him. We're going to do it our way. You know what Paul said in Romans 1, talking about this? He said, whose foolish hearts were darkened, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. You see, man has his own imaginations, developed his own wise plans and schemes, and the result of it was destruction and devastation. The result of it was that God came down and judged man. And then you come on over in chapter 14 and you find that other city, Jerusalem. You find where God is taking a man by the name of Melchizedek, a beautiful type of the Lord Jesus Christ, and Abraham, Abraham there, who is the chosen seed. And then there's God's city, and they're all brought together around this city that was chosen by God to be the center of his activity and his people and his kingdom and his glory. So there are these two great cities, and they start back there in Genesis. And they go all the way through Scripture to the last times. Come with me, if you will, to Isaiah chapter 13. Isaiah chapter number 13, if you will. And 1 Peter chapter number 5. Let me show you something about Babylon. Isaiah 13 and 1 Peter chapter number 5. Something very interesting in the prophetic scriptures about the city of Babylon. And not just the city itself, but the territory and the country that it is the symbol of and the head of. In Isaiah chapter 13, we read a prophecy against Babylon, about the destruction of Babylon. Isaiah 13 verse 19. And Babylon, the glory of kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldees' excellency, shall be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. What did God do when he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah? Why, God destroyed them completely and totally, didn't he? And he did it suddenly, and he did it without any remedy. Verse number 20 says, it, Babylon, notice, shall never be inhabited, neither shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation, neither shall the Arabian pitch tent there, neither shall the shepherds make their fold there. Now you tell me something. Has that passage about the destruction of Babylon ever been fulfilled? I know what people say. They say, well, that all happened years ago. That all happened many, many centuries ago. But you know, that passage, I read that passage, it says it shall never be inhabited. Why, I can take you on the map and show it to you today. There are people that live there today. It's a town called Hillel. The name was changed, but the place is the same. It says that the Arabian shall not pitch his tent there. Who do you think lives there today? The Arabs do. That's who. That passage of Scripture, you see, it comes down to, do you really believe the Bible says what it means and means what it says? And I know people, you know, they come along and they spiritualize the Scripture and they say, well, you know, it says this, but it really doesn't mean that. It's got to be this spiritual. When you do the Word of God that way, then you don't give any credence to it. I understand that. But those of us that believe the Bible says what it means and means what it says, we read that and we say, but that passage hadn't been fulfilled yet, so what's going to happen? It must be awaiting fulfillment in the future. If it hadn't already been fulfilled, it must be going to be fulfilled in the days to come. Well, let me show you in the Scripture how you know that passage hasn't been fulfilled yet. Notice he says, Isaiah 13, verse 20, it shall never be inhabited. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 13. When Isaiah 13 is fulfilled, Babylon will never again be inhabited. 1 Peter 5, verse 13. The church that is at Babylon, elect together with you, saluteth you. Well, you tell me. In 1 Peter 5, 13, does Peter say there's somebody living in Babylon? Sure he does. You know what he says? He says in 1 Peter 5, 13, that the church at Babylon, there are some believers of the circumcision church in Babylon in Peter's day. Well, I know something. I know that in Peter's day, it was inhabited. It hadn't been fulfilled. Isaiah wasn't fulfilled yet. And my friend, it hasn't been fulfilled even until our day. You know what that means? That means that once again, Babylon is to be rebuilt to a center and become a tremendous world power and a center of world commercial and political power, in order that God then can destroy it in the way that He says He'll do. Come with me to Revelation chapter number 14. Revelation chapter 14. You got to understand, folks, that when we're talking about Babylon, people say, is Iraq in Bible prophecy? Is war in Iraq in Bible prophecy? Will Iraq become a leader of the world nations? Hey, my friend, Babylon is 40 miles south of the capital of present-day Iraq, the present-day capital, Baghdad. The leaders of Iraq have great dreams of one day Babylon being rebuilt and becoming the glory of the Arab Arab League. And my friend, just as it was in Nebuchadnezzar's day, and the Bible, if the Bible means what it says and says what it means, and there's no doubt in my mind that it does, the Bible indicates that it will be exactly what happens. Babylon will be rebuilt and once again become a mighty world power before God judges it. Now, you say, well, what are we going to do now? Look at Revelation 14, at what happens to Babylon. Revelation 14. Therefore, and there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen. That great city, because she made all the nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. In the tribulation period, you know what we're talking about in Revelation? You've got the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ in here in Matthew to John. Christ dies on the cross. He ascends into heaven, sends the Holy Spirit back on the apostles here in the Acts period. You have the fall of Israel. Salvation goes to the Gentiles. Jesus Christ from heaven's glory reaches down, saves Saul of Tarsus, makes him Paul the apostle. You have the church, the body of Christ in here in the dispensation of grace. This is the mystery program in here. This is something that's interrupted prophecy. You find it written down in your Bible in Romans through Philemon. This is what God's doing today. One day Jesus Christ is going to come back and rapture the church out, catch the church, the body of Christ, off this planet. We're a heavenly people with a heavenly hope, and take us and seat us in the heavenly places with Him to rule in His heavenly kingdom. And when He does, there's going to be a time of wrath and tribulation on this earth like it's never been before. It's called the 70th week of Daniel. We've been studying about that, and the 69 weeks come to here, then the 70th week over here. At the end of that 70th week, Jesus Christ comes and sets up His kingdom over here and will rule and reign on out through eternity. In this kingdom right here, I mean, Jerusalem is going to be the city of the great king over there. But in here, Babylon is going to be the great kingdom, the city of the Antichrist. And just as Jesus Christ is going to rule in the earth with a rod of iron and a kingdom of righteousness from Jerusalem, the Antichrist is going to rule in the earth with a kingdom of iniquity from Babylon. And Revelation 14 says that city is destroyed. In this time period, Babylon is destroyed. Folks, it has to be there to be destroyed. And you'll see in Revelation chapter 17, he talks about mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, being destroyed. The religious system that began back in Genesis 11, two things began back there in Genesis 11. One was a religious system, the tower whose top may reach to heaven. The religious system designed to damn and doom the souls of men. It's destroyed. But that religious system of mystical Babylon its headquarters is found in the literal city of Babylon. For Babel, back there in Genesis 11, was not simply a religious system. It was a literal city that was the headquarters of the religious system. And so it'll be in the end time. The site of the first great apostasy against God will be the center and the headquarters of the last great apostasy against God under the reign of the Antichrist. And so you see mystical Babylon destroyed in Revelation 17. You see literal, commercial, political Babylon destroyed in Revelation 18. And then in Revelation 19, he says these things, after these things, after the complete destruction of literal Babylon and mystical, the religious system with her, after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia! Salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. And verse 3 says again, they say, Alleluia. And verse 4 it says, they say, Alleluia. And verse 6, Alleluia, the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. The first time in your Bible that you read the word Hallelujah is right there. Did you know that? We say Hallelujah all the time. But in the Bible, the Hallelujah chorus doesn't break forth in heaven until Babylon is destroyed. And when Babylon is destroyed, the heavens shout Hallelujah, for now the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Isn't that wonderful? You know something? God Almighty is going to take care of that and destroy all of that. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to worry who's running things and what conspiratorial hand is out there fiddling around with this and fiddling around with. You know something, folks? God Almighty is going to take care of all of that. Now look back at that map just for a minute. Get it back in your mind. Those two cities, Babylon and Jerusalem, that's the two cities, just 600 miles apart, that will be the focus of what the prophetic program will accomplish in the last days. My friend, may I say to you that look back here at the chart now, until the dispensation of grace is over with, that kingdom program out there, that prophetic program waits to be fulfilled. Today, we live in the dispensation of grace. Today, God is holding that back. He's withholding this program. He's withholding the appearance of the Antichrist so that His purpose in the dispensation of grace. Do you understand what God's doing today? Today, God's forming the church, the body of Christ. He's taken sinners just like you and just like me, and through faith in what His Son did for us at Calvary, when Jesus Christ died there for our sin, He died, His soul was made an offering for everything that's wrong with you. God commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The wages of sin is death. The only answer to death is life. So the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's what God's doing today. God is forming a spiritual body of believers called the church, the body of Christ. that he's going to use in the ages to come in the heavenly places, just like he's going to use the nation Israel in the earth. Two agencies. And he's forming this agency today. And my friend, one day when this program is over, that program will come through. And the stage of end time events will focus on where that little map I've been showing you is, Babylon and Jerusalem. But God's city will come out victorious. Until then, the focus is on the battle for the truth of God's grace in the dispensation of grace. The focus shifts from here to the battle that we fight in the heavenly places through the doctrine of God's Word committed to us through the ministry of the Apostle Paul. The Word of God rightly divided is where the battle is today. And if you want to fight against the adversary and you want to stand against the satanic policy of evil that desires to destroy you and your children and your family and your nation and your friends and your relatives and your enemies and everybody else, then you need to get into the battle for God's truth. Don't try to fight a battle that isn't being fought today. Fight where the battle is today. Understand what God is doing and be a part of it. If you've never believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to do that today. You need to see how easily world events can pass the flashpoint and erupt into warfare. You need to see how easy it is for your life to be swept away. You need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. And if you are saved, you need to get serious in an understanding of what God's doing today so you can take the sure truth of God's Word and share it with others for their profit. You join us again next time. Until then, Maranatha.
Friends, we hope you enjoyed this message. We have a wide range of subjects available on video, cassette tapes, and books for your further edification. Please call for a free catalog at 810-778-5032, or you can write Forgotten Truths at Grace Bible Church, 13630 Common Road, Warren, Michigan, 48093. Forgotten Truths is a ministry of Grace Bible Church, in cooperation with Grace School of the Bible. Thank you for watching.
I say pardon full and free, and all because of Calvary. I say fellowship reclaim, he did it all, he took the blame. And then I cry, what wonderful grace, what wonderful grace.